New Thought Guy.
3, 2, 1.
Do you remember that song, Que Sera Sera? It was written by Jay Livingston and Ray Evans, a famous songwriting team. They wrote the Bonanza and Mr. Ed themes. They wrote Tammy, the big Debbie Reynolds hit. Nat King Cole's Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa, great, great song. And big song that everyone pretty much knows, the Christmas hit Silver Bells, Jay Livingston and Ray Evans wrote. So there's three verses in that song, and in those three verses, the life of the narrator is progressing from childhood to young adulthood, falling in love to parenthood, and each verse asks the question, what will I be, or what lies ahead? And each chorus, the answer is the same. What will be, que sera, sera. Now those words, que sera, sera, is actually a bit of ungrammatical, mistranslated Italian meshed with a little Spanish phonetics going on. But no matter what, that whole song is what is considered an example of cheerful fatalism. Cheerful fatalism. Que sera, sera, what will be, will be. Now that song became Doris Day's signature song, and she introduced it in Alfred Hitchcock's 1956 film, The Man Who Knew Too Much, singing it as a cue to her and Jimmy Stewart's on-screen kidnapped son, and her song echoes throughout the house and symbolically telling the son, I'm here, I'm coming, I'll save you. And in the movie, the boy hears it and whistles back to her, symbolically saying, I'm here, come find me, come save me. Now, we don't teach fatalism, cheerful or not. The title and the chorus of this song should actually be Que Credere Sera, whatever you believe will be. The future is ours to see. Que Credere Sera, Sera, what you believe will be, will be. And why? Because what you believe is what is meant to be. What you believe is what the universe, the law of attraction, whatever you want to call it, hears, listens to, and does whatever it needs to do in its way to bring that into your experience. Because what you believe is what is meant to be. It's like karma. Have you heard that term, karma? Ernest Holmes wrote in his book, Creative Mind, do you realize that your karma is nothing more than your false thinking, and that the only way to escape is to think the truth? And that brings with it the higher law. When the oldest enters, the youngest leaves, because there is nothing to give it life. The past is gone when we learn to forgive and forget. Now, that would make you think that karmatic results are negative only, which is not true. And I don't think Dr. Holmes was truly saying that. What he was saying was that, like I've said before, principle is not bound by precedent. If you don't like what's happening in your experiences, then your karma doesn't need to move forward in that. What you need to do is change your belief, and thus your karma will change. Karma, in case you didn't know, is Sanskrit that translates to the words action, work, or deed. If it was meant to be, then somehow, somewhere, it was meant to be because you sang that song, so to speak, calling, I'm here, come find me. And the universe whistled back, I hear you, what you want is coming. what you've sang will show up in your life. Now, I know that's a sucky thing to hear sometimes. Que sera, sera is much easier to swallow. What will be, and then I'll deal with it when it shows up, good, bad, or indifferent. However, there really is only one thing that is meant to be in your life. And that's what is called the thing itself. That which reveals in you, that divine beingness that is in you, that is the thing itself, the divine, God, spirit, whatever you want to call it. This month, we declare it. We declare spirit, God, the divine in our lives. We declare our power, that which is given to us as our birthright from the universe, that hour from the power and presence. We declare our ability to use this power through the universal law of cause and effect, attraction, compensation. It's called by many names. But we use our power in that law to manifest whatever great things we decide we want in mind, body, and experience. We declare our right to our magnificence, our individualized magnificence, demonstrating in everything we say, think, or do. We declare our choice to be what will be per our declaration. Now, I don't believe in happenstance. I don't believe in predetermination or fate or any of that stuff. Like there's some book somewhere that says, oh, well, Jay, in this incarnation, will do this, this, that, or the other. And if for, because, you know, I'm always open to learning more, if that is part of some universal energetic thing going on, what I do know that is no matter what, and you can call it DNA, you can call it family stuff, whatever you want to call it, I can go past that. I can go through that. I can go beyond that. Because my declarations right here and right now are more powerful than any DNA, than any book of whatever from whatever in the past. Any self-defined good or bad karma arises from our preferences, whether they're conscious or unconscious. And of course, we teach to become conscious of that so that we can consciously adapt it or change it or whatever needs to happen, or keep it for that matter. Because we simply are here individually to discriminate what we like or dislike, what suits us or doesn't suit us, and focus on that what looks like, feels like, sounds like, tastes like, what we want to declare, what we've decided is meant to be. Now, one of the earliest association of karma, as far as a definition of causality, through the law, whatever you want to call that law, occurred in this 7th century BCE, before the Common Era, a book called the Brihadaranyaka. Did I say that right? Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It's one of the Upanishads in Hinduism. And it's translated, one of the translations is this. Now, as a man is like this or that, accordingly as he acts and accordingly as he behaves, so will he be. A man of good acts will become good, a man of bad acts, bad. He becomes pure by pure deeds, bad by bad deeds. And here they say that a person consists of desires, and as is his desire, so is his will. And as his will, so is his deed. And whatever deed he does, that he will reap. You reap what you sow, Bible fans. Now, I know that brings up a lot of questions, and most of them stemming from the negative bad deeds and all that stuff, ugly past experiences. I know all those kind of questions come up. And my first answer would be, why are you concentrating on the past? Why are you dealing with this definition in that way? Do you remember the wolf story, the two wolves story? I've told it many times. The moral of the story, or the theme of the story, is whatever you feed stays alive in your life. Whatever thought you feed stays alive in your life. And if that thought is, I have no control over anything ever, because fate or some sort of predetermination has already decided for me, my job is only to live it. My job is only to react to it. And that's what's going to stay alive in your life, is that idea. Here's a quote by Joe Dispenza. He says, I've always said that when we overcome the emotions that tether us to our past, and we can look back at our past from a greater level of consciousness, awareness, energy, or emotional state, we can then see the purposeful good in the painful or challenging events of our lives. From this vantage point, we can see from a place of love, compassion, and freedom why certain events in our lives had to happen the way they did. Okay, sure. You want to live in your emotions from the past? Then let them live in you as excuses to suffer, ignore, react, or keep a hold on you, let you just sit there and stagnate in it. Okay, you want to believe that? You want to buy into that? Then que sera, sera. It shall. It is meant to be. Now, I'm not saying to ignore your emotions. Emotions are not your enemy, just like Joe Dispenza was trying to tell you there. Emotions are not your enemy. They're your teacher. They're the karma of your experiences, the informer of your beliefs, even the precursor to your healing many times, if not most of the time. It's what you decide to do with that is what's important. What you decide to do with that karma that has shown up because of your beliefs from before. Deepak Chopra reminds us in the 7 Spiritual Laws of Success, you and I have essentially infinite power of choice. Shall I say that again, really close to the camera? You and I have essentially infinite power of choice. He goes on and says, at every moment of our existence, we are in that field of all possibilities where we have access to an infinity of choices. Some of these choices are made consciously while others are made unconsciously. The best way to understand and improve the use of karmic law is to become aware of the decisions we make at all times. Are you aware of the decisions you make at all times? Are you, like I've said before in other talks, are you reacting or are you responding? There's a story about a manager at a warehouse, whatever you can call it, the Amazon warehouse, whatever, who's touring the building. He's touring the company. It's not his place of where his office is. Anyway, he's touring around and he notices this young man leaning against the wall, doing nothing. And he approaches him and he, you know, calmly says, young man, how much is your salary? And the young man was calm, a little surprised by the question, but calm about it. And he said, well, I make $2,500 a month, sir. Why? Without an answer, the manager pulled out his wallet and took out $2,500 in cash, and he gave it to the young man, and he said, I pay people here to work, not stand around. Now, this is your monthly salary in advance. Get out. Don't come back. I don't want a discussion. You're through. Young man took the money, left. The manager turned and looked at the rest of the workers. Door was open. Stepped in, he said, in a threatening tone, he said, this applies to everyone in this company. Whoever does not work, we immediately terminate. one of the employees approaches the manager and asks him, sir, do you know the guy you just fired? The manager replied, no. What difference does that make? And she said, well, he's the pizza delivery guy. The pizza delivery guy just made $2,500 on his break. That could happen in one way or another to anybody who reacts instead of responds, who's on purpose instead of just goes. Nothing wrong with going with the flow, but you're still conscious of what's going on right now. So how careful are you in declaring your decisions? How careful are you in creating your karma? We are what we believe. And then we teach the universe what we are, so it delivers what we want. You want to have some karma to transcend? Then start and end your day on an affirming note. Like this. Declare. Like this, and just listen. No matter what was yesterday or what will be tomorrow, I declare the past, present, and future are a stream of good without interruption. And so I focus on the infinite possibilities of the now. I am spirit as Jay. I am spirit as Patty. I am spirit as Phil, George, John, Paul, Ringo, Nancy, Susie, whatever. I am spirit. And so I see everything as a victory of a present perfect and full of love, fulfillment, grace, and protection. I pay attention to the present moment, every moment, from a stance that is non-judgmental and non-reactive, and I tune into my best self, promoting my God-given resilience and flexibility. And so I go forth, bold and brave, with courage, moving towards a more complete realization and revelation of my own merits, my own talents, my own power, and all that corresponds to those merits, talents, and powers in the universe. Because today is a good day, and the panorama of tomorrows that brightens the inevitable will also be totally good as I define it. Because the nature of reality, the nature of what's happening in the 3D world is mine to choose. Is mine as I see it right now. And I see it right now as fabulous. Remember the meta-human in you, that which is beyond your humanness, your godness, you could say, is the power and presence that creates your karma. So reprogram your mind, because that reprograms your experience. And what will be then will be because you sang the song that you chose. What will be because of the song you sing today. Thank you so much. Namaste.